recently, when I say recent, I'm talking about in the last few months, I've started becoming a song leader at Santa Clara, where I normally attend. And one of the things when you start learning something new is that you start noticing things that you may have never noticed before. And when you're learning how to song lead, you kind of pay more attention to the person up front leading. And you pay more attention to not just how they're leading, but how people are following. Which brings us to the lesson that I hope to share with you tonight about leading and following. What does it mean for us to lead and to follow? Are there only certain people who fulfill certain roles of leadership? Or is that a role that all of us have to bear at one point or another? And what is entailed in the role of following? I'm coming to look at both of those angles, and just the three points within each one: leadership of the church, leadership in the church, and leadership outside the church, as well as following of the church, following in the church, and following outside the church. What do these mean for us? Talking about leading, the leadership of the church, I will tell you outright, as I'm sure you guys know, it is a blessing to have elders in a church. In Santa Clara, several years ago, we didn't have elders. And that was an interesting time, and it's a time where you function without completely being in God's plan for how a church is to function. So you have elders, and that is a great blessing. But in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, we're told that elders are worthy of double honor, especially those that preach and teach. Why? I mean, are they any more holy than the rest of us? I mean, what makes these people worthy of such honor? And the fact is, it's because they took up a role of leadership. They took up a role that was put up there by God on how to function, how to conduct a church, and how to lead a church. It shouldn't be a surprise to us that, I mean, thank you, Aaron. I'm going to apologize right now because the singing that you led tonight leads perfectly to what I'll be talking about tonight. And thank you for leading leading the song about the Lord is my shepherd. Because the greatest example that we have of how elders are to lead a church is the comparison of a shepherd and his flock. To be completely honest, I am by no means a farmer, a shepherder, or anything. I do my shepherding at the local Safeway down on Berryessa. That's where I do my farming and my butchering. So what does that mean? What does it mean to be a shepherd of a flock? There's a great book that I got to read several years ago where you had the elder of a congregation who also happened to be a shepherd by trade discuss the parallels that exist. So what does a shepherd do? Is there kind of a shepherd house and then some sheep that are just in a pasture somewhere? Not during these times here. During New Testament times, first century times, the shepherd was with their flock. To the point that you could even joke that they would eventually start to smell like their flock. There is an intimate knowledge of each sheep in its pasture. Each one it was responsible for. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. Be looking at verses 1 through 4. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. There may be times, as a congregation, you feel that you might not be in sync with your eldership. But these are individuals who took stock of the role that they were going to take. and took that leadership role. Not by compulsion. These are people who, knowing full well what to expect, came into the role. It's not surprising that the role of an elder is compared to the comparison between that role with them and their flock, the congregation, is also compared to the role in the home, a father and his children, which we'll look more to in a bit later. Elders, and again, I'm very careful when preaching to to a group of elders. Elders take a leadership position that is to be respected and honored, knowing that this is a voluntary position that they step up to leading a congregation, and which they are ultimately held accountable for, so that they can receive the unfading crown of glory. All right, so but what about in the church? All right, Paul, I get you. Elders are great, they are special, but you're talking about leadership in the church. What else are we talking about here? Just tonight, you've had several people lead you in worship. Prayer, songs, so bringing in a portion of the word. You've had individuals who came up, stepped up, and took a leadership position in the worship of your God and your King. Let's take stock of this for a second. God does not need our worship, but He desires it. And with that desire comes demand. He has a way He wants this led. As individuals who step up to lead a congregation in worship, that is a heavy duty. I mean, I was telling Nicholas, every time I come up, I get a little bit of butterflies. And frankly, I consider it a good thing. Realizing that you're handling the Word of God and leading a congregation in the worship of God is a role that ideally men will not only just stand up for, but be ready for and take it seriously. There's also a bit of standing up and ownership of it. You ever tell when you have a song leader who's not really prepared? I had an instance where there was a song leader who was actually trying to lead the song you just led. But there was another version with a similar title that he went up to lead. And he was embarrassed. Corrected himself, got the correct song up there and started leading. However, his lack of preparedness removed the congregation from its service. And really, that's what it comes to, a sense of preparedness. When you are coming to lead God's people in His worship, there has to be a sense of preparedness. Right now, each of you are depending on me to lead you in worship in hearing a portion of God's Word preached. If it doesn't freak you out, it freaks me out a little. I'll share that with you openly. And at the end of the day, it's not about who is up here. It's not about me being Paul. It's not about Aaron being Aaron. Is about an individual up here leading you in God's worship. All right, Paul, I get it. Okay. You're talking about elders? Great. Cool. You're talking about people who are willing to lead the congregation in worship? That's great. But you're telling me there's leadership roles outside of the church for a Christian? One of my pet peeves, and if you get to know me long enough, you'll know that I have several. but one of my pet peeves is the assumption that the only way to worship God well is within the hours of time of worship. In this area, say the Greater Bay Area, the pattern that I have seen is usually you've got an hour of Bible class Sunday morning, you've got about an hour of worship on Sunday morning, about an hour of worship Sunday evening, and then maybe an hour of Bible class on Wednesday or sometime midweek. I realize that not all congregations function that way, but by and large, I tend to see that pattern. 4 hours in a given week, where you have individuals that are coming up and publicly and visibly leading you. Do you honestly believe those are the only opportunities to lead as an example of God's child? In the Gospel of Matthew, we are told to let our light shine. that in and of itself is a leadership role that we possess. When we are out in our jobs, we are with our friends who are not Christian, when we are just out in the world, when we're at the grocery store, the example that we lead is a leadership role for the rest of the world to see. Just even within the body of Christ as well, the old are commanded to teach the young. There is a leadership role there, not implied, stated. If you are an older person in this audience, you are commanded to teach the young how to be. Not just the young men, but the young women too. There's a sense of development. Men and women are told to be leaders in the home. Like we talked about when it came to the qualifications of an elder. In 1 Timothy 3:5, it talks about, you know, being able to take care of your own household. Because if you can't take care of your household, how can you take care of a congregation of God's people? Now, ladies, you're not going to get off the hook for this. One of the points that I bring up is that we look at Timothy, young gospel preacher. And his faith was commended as a reflection of his mother's and his grandmother's. Growing up, it was my father seeing his actions, showing me what it took to become a Christian. However, it was the living of my mother that showed me what a Christian was to be. And guess what? That's a leadership role. If you have kids, you are a leader. And you're expected to lead. How you conduct yourself in public as well. I work in a warehouse. It gets colorful, let me tell you. How I act is a reflection of Christ. I was talking with another sister in Christ visiting from Arizona some time ago, and she was telling me that when she comes into work, the new guys are always told she's the religious one. You know, be careful around her. And you know what? That's a compliment. Your light shines and is obvious. You are a leader outside of the church. Okay, now, I have a bit of honesty to tell you here. My sermon wasn't initially just going to be talking about leadership. It was more focused on the following. In this day and age, in this culture, the idea of following is not only frowned upon, it is mocked. And yet we must follow. Following the leadership of the church. Do we have the attitudes of those who are following their leader? For better or worse, I have strong beliefs and opinions. But guess what? If the leadership of the congregation of which I am a member makes a decision that is not contrary to the word, I am under obligation to follow that decision. And trust me, I'm going to have this come back at me because those who know me know that that's a tough thing for me personally to follow. What is submission? We are told to submit to authorities. We are told to submit to the authority of the church. What is it? It's almost like we see it as a dirty word. It's giving up part of who we are. I mean, we're Americans. We're individuals. I mean, we're cowboys. We're outlaws. We're all this, right? I mean, why would I give up a part of my individuality to serve someone else? Well, if it isn't enough that you were commanded to, it's your duty. Not every one of us is going to lead at a time where it's told to lead. To point, your elders are here listening to me. They have some years on me and some experience and some wisdom. And yet they are allowing me to lead them in worship. Now that said, it is not a blind faith or a blind following. There is a built-in admission knowing that elders are people as well. And they are prone to the same faults as individuals. 1 Timothy 5, I'm looking at verses 19 through 20. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three witnesses. Those who continue in sin, rebuke in the presence of all, so that the rest also may be fearful of sinning. Something that came to me as I was preparing this lesson, the all that they are referring to, is that the congregation, or is that the rest of the eldership that's there? I couldn't tell you for sure. There is a plan, there is a form in play for such a thing, but we are still told to come at them with honor and to correct them in honor. If someday the eldership decides, you know what, the Lord's Supper, it's going to be thin crust pizza with pepperoni and Coca-Cola for the Lord's, you know, for the Lord's blood, that's what we're going to do. That should be raising some red flags, first and foremost. And why? Why not? I love pizza and Coke. Because it's not what we have here. It is not the example that we have set forward by Christ. There was a sister in Christ that we have at Santa Clara. She's come from Texas. Her son preached in Arizona. And she's a sweetheart, and she'll tell me the same stories a few times over on a given day. And her son Ray preached at a congregation where things were going great. They had the support of the eldership, and they were preaching. Everything was going great. And then bit by bit, well, we need you to preach on this way. Okay, we need you to preach on this that way. And by degrees, he could see that it was getting away from the Word. At one point, it got so bad where he said, I can't worship here. And he left. And that next Wednesday, about half the congregation showed up at his door saying, well, when do we start midweek Bible class? I tell you this story not to promote disunity, but to show you how potent and powerful following God's plan is. As followers, you are commanded to keep this, not just to follow blindly what is being told to you. All right, Paul, follow your elders. We get it. What about following people in the church? And this is the point that really comes to the way Aaron was leading singing. One thing that I noticed, and there was a young song leader in his 20s, and he was trying to lead the congregation in a song. He had a tempo, he had the beat he was going to go at, and he was trying to lead the congregation, but no one was following him. I mean, sometimes you get the strong voices, you know, when you hear them sing, you know, you have the strong voices, and they know that they sing this song at this tempo, this way. This is the way that we sing it, so we're going to sing it this way. Well, and then other people followed suit. And then after a while, you see him trying to lead, and the congregation getting away from him. I went up to him later afterwards and said, you know, I appreciate the job you're trying to do. But as a congregation, when we are going to enter into worship, we need to be ready to follow the leaders that are leading us. That's why today's singing was great. Not to blow you up too big, but the fact that the tempo were changed and that you had to pay attention to what Aaron was doing. You had to follow his lead or else you'd be singing a few solos. You have to pay attention and engage yourself to the leader who's leading you. And I will admit, the way, when you have a set pattern of how a worship service is done, and you do it often enough, it can be easy to go on autopilot. And instead of focusing on the words that you're singing, maybe you're thinking about the casserole that you have for the potluck in the afternoon, or about the Niner game later on, and how we'll do better next time against the Broncos. But you're not focused on worshiping God. If you're not submitting yourself to the leadership of the person up here leading you in worship, you are not accepting, worshiping acceptably. And besides, what is the goal of our worship? Why are we here? We're not here just to sing, to hear ourselves be heard. We're not here just to take a couple, you know, loaves of unleavened bread and some juice. Ultimately, we are here to worship our God and King. And if that is our goal, we will follow those who lead us. All right, great. So we're going to follow the elders, and we're going to follow the people that lead us. But what about outside? I mean, aren't they a bunch of Gentiles out there? Why would we follow them? Yet we are commanded to. We are commanded to submit to authorities, to give unto Caesar what is Caesar. We are commanded to submit to our spouses. And not just wives to our husband, to their husbands, but husbands to their wives too. Anytime you see a marriage relationship where you've got the husband not thinking of the needs of the wife, you see an unbalanced marriage relationship. Full disclosure, I've never been married, but I've seen enough to know that's when they get out of balance. Children are told to submit to their parents, yet parents are also told not to exasperate their children. It's kind of funny how that part tends to get left out sometimes. Usually because then the young kids come up and say, see, you can't exasperate me. But we have to have this idea of following when the role is there for us to follow, to submit. And ultimately, we submit to God and His authority. If I can leave you with any image, it's one that our resident preacher, Mike Wilson, uses, that whenever we decide to sin, we are essentially holding up our puny fist at God and saying, I'm going to do what I want. Think on this a second. You are telling the Creator of all that is that I'm going to do what I want. You are questioning His authority. Now, forget questioning it. You're ignoring it altogether. And like we are to be followers of God and His authority and Christ and His authority, we are to respect and obey the authorities that we have here, whether it be inside or outside the church. Now, we all have times in our life where we are going to have the roles of leadership and the roles of following that we're going to take up. I personally thank you for following me here. No one stepped up and started preaching their own lesson or started leading song impromptu. I thank you for allowing me to lead you in worship here. But we're all going to have opportunities to take up leadership roles and to take up following roles. Roles of subservience. Roles of subordinates. When we take those opportunities and we accept them and we fulfill them to the greatest of our ability, we are choosing to serve. We are choosing to lead. We are choosing to submit. We cannot lead under compulsion. You can't make someone follow under compulsion either. Will you take advantage of those opportunities fully when they come to you? We're about to offer anyone who has not become a Christian the opportunity to take advantage of that now. Have you chosen to submit to the authority of Christ? Have you chosen to allow Him to be King of your life? If you have not, you have the ability to come forward now and we'll gladly enter you into Christ's body through baptism, the full immersion in water, and Christ will add you into His body. But let's say you're a Christian already, and perhaps you've allowed your duties as a leader or as a follower to slip. You've been throwing your fist in the air saying, I'm going to do what I want instead of what Christ wants. You will also have the opportunity to come forward now and ask for the prayers and the brothers and sisters here, as you come forward in repentance. You will have that opportunity now as together we stand and sing.